Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
You didn't think Loveland was serious, but you'd evaluate him Tuesday, Wednesday. Did you prove correct? Did that prove correct?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
There's support at the end of the day, right?
What advantage are you gaining?
Huh?
What advantage are you gaining by making us wait a few hours?
What is the issue with you waiting a couple hours?
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes.
You can come hang out with us.
Speedo Pect.
On 670 The Score.
Strangely enough, he is not in a Speedo. He looks very professional.
It's radio theater, man. Say that I am.
We're on Twitch.
I didn't realize you guys brought that with.
Yeah, we bring it with us. Jason Leisure is here. He's brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. He's also brought to you by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. You good?
I'm great.
Fun to be here at Stadium Swim. Isn't it, dude?
Place is amazing. I've never set foot in Circa before. It's the longest escalator I've ever seen
to get up to
Stadium Swim, but it's worth it. This is incredible. This is like out of a dream you would have that there would be this swimming pool, sports bar.
Casino because there are dealers down there too.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten a chance to walk around just from what I can see from the top.
There's mountain views over there as well. Like, it's a really magical place.
This makes all the sense in the world why you'd want to come and stay here.
Jason, and people were so happy here over the weekend, man. Bears fans,
I bet.
They were happy last night, too. Can you describe the visuals of that finish and what you saw on the field in front of you as that game ended from the press box yesterday?
And I'm sure that a lot of Bears fans were having the similar experience as I was because I've watched the Bears for 40 years. And that whole game to me was just feeling so much like the Commanders game from last year. Like, it's not going well, but it's setting up where Caleb's going to get his chance at the end. And they take the lead at the end, and then it's like, man, the Bears are always on the wrong end of this heartbreak. They're always the wrong team in somebody else's amazing finish and game of the year. And you're just bracing for that to repeat. And then it doesn't. And Josh Blackwell just comes screaming in there and blocks it. And that place went crazy. And one of my favorite things to see in any ballpark, I saw the Sox fans kind of like this like 20 years ago after they beat the Cubs on a Carlos Lee walk-off grand slam. And I saw it yesterday when the Bears won on the blocked field goal, that the fans just stayed. And it was still loud in there, like minutes and minutes and minutes, well after the game had ended. The Bears fans, they weren't leaving.
I love that. And I'm not surprised. Like, that's been our experience. Speaks and I got here, Thursday afternoon? And our experience has been everywhere we've gone, there's been Bears fans. And they were hyped and ready for this particular game. And they made it feel like a home game to a certain extent. over there. And I think that's one of the problems with having a team in Las Vegas. There are too many fan bases that can come and infiltrate this place. You're too close to L.A. You know, the Snowbirds will come out from Chicago and Philadelphia and other places. Phoenix is 40 minutes away. Like, there's a lot of stuff that can take their home field advantage away. And it was great to see it. Then the actual football has to be played. And as much as we talked about Max Crosby and the way that he affects a game, we saw what a great defensive player can do to a game.
Yeah, I kept thinking about how long it's been since the Bears had Khalil Mack and the impact that he would have. Caleb Williams was in disbelief, and I guess I still am too, that about that interception by Max Crosby. When do you ever see a defensive end deflect a pass over the middle? I mean, he lines up at defensive end to Caleb's right, and Max Crosby ends up over the top of the center, Drew Dahlman, to deflect that pass and then catch it. He was just I don't even think he had a sack yesterday.
No, he didn't have a sack, but he dominated.
He was back there the whole time. He was just back there all day.
And they let him do whatever he wants. So when he thinks they're going quick, they're playing a quick game, he just follows Caleb's eyes. And he got in the passing lanes.
His instincts are so good.
Yeah.
And watch, and I appreciate Caleb recognizing it and being like, yeah, that's the best player I've played against. Right.
That's what he said after the game. And there's a couple aspects of this game we haven't had a chance to really talk about during the show. Yeah. So Theo Bennett ends up on the left and Ozzie Trapillo ends up on the right. Ben said he did it for a spark. Did they get a spark? What changed when those guys
Man, you never know what combination's going to work on the offensive line, and that was better. I think Caleb was getting the ball out faster in the second half. Ben Johnson disagreed. I don't know that he disagreed, but he hasn't agreed with that when I've asked about it. Caleb didn't really say anything, but it looked to me like there was a better sense of there just isn't time. This has to come out faster. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, everybody is right to enjoy the craziness of how that game ended. But like any wild night in Vegas, the next morning you kind of wake up and try to figure out what's going on and why is Mike Tyson's tiger locked in our bathroom. And like there's some mess to clean up still here, even as you get a great win going into the bye week. And that's high on the list. What are you doing at left tackle, assuming Darnell Wright's coming back out of the bye? What is going on with your run defense? Just giving up, 7 yards a carry, 6.5 yards per carry?
240 yards. On 31 carries. That is the most any team has run for this year. I mean, they gave up 8 runs of 11 yards or more.
And on the flip side, their rushing offense isn't getting them anywhere right now. So huge, huge problems that you have to fix, because as crazy and thrilling as that was Sunday, you can't count on 4 takeaways and a blocked field goal every week.
It's really interesting, too. As a show, we've been discussing a couple of things, like watching Ty Warren and Indy do well, and then the Ashton Jeanty stuff. Well, Ashton Jeanty hadn't been playing well at all until yesterday. And he's got the most interesting posture, like, in the backfield. It works. Like, the more that I was, like, tracking it and charting it, I'm like, oh, he really doesn't tell. He just kind of stands there. And I was thinking, oh, he stands there when it's not run. So I kept watching, like, no, this is his thing and how he does it. It's just really, really weird. But that dude doesn't look like he's going to truck you, but he was trucking people yesterday.
Except for one play. There were two amazing plays involving Ashton Jeanty. One was the 64-yard run. His season high was 63 yards in a game, and he runs for 64 on one play. But the play where Andrew Billings blew him up. Andrew Billings, I guess it works like all the athleticism that he's not getting to show now that he's on the bench, he gets to store up and then unleash in one moment. The way he blew up that play at his size and then they end up forcing the fumble was incredible.
So the way that Ben talked about Jeanty in postgame was fascinating, I think. He described his body. He's so compact.
Yes.
And that's what it looks like as you're watching. He's so compact physically that you have to tackle him exactly the right way or he slips off you. Because he's powerful, but it's also just like the construction of his body. Like Byard on the long run had him wrapped. But Genty just keeps going.
Did you see that kick that Genty had to break free from that and get his speed back up? It was amazing.
But then Byard made a great play on a I think it was on a third and short to force a field goal, getting Genty in the backfield.
Byard is, every time the Bears, no matter who the regime is, who the coach and GM is, they sign one of these guys that's older and the good teams are kind of out on, you wonder, what are they going to be? And Kevin Byard is a hit. That's a guy that still had plenty left and was good last year and good this year. But some of what you're talking about, Matt, is what concerned me about the Raiders for the Bears coming in. The Raiders are not good, but they present so many liabilities for the Bears with these individual pieces, Crosby, Bowers, and Genty.
Yeah.
And we don't need to rehash that because the game's already over, but what it illustrated yesterday was the Bears don't have those things. The Bears don't have that game-changing, reliable power horse running back. They don't have that game-wrecking, disruptive pass rusher. And they don't have this just unstoppable, dynamic tight end. And they have nobody to blame but themselves for that when you're in year four of a rebuild. You can sit here, well, you can talk about running back, for example, and you can say, oh, in the draft, oh, we wanted this guy and this guy. Oh, he got snatched up two picks right before we were about to take him. Shucks. But if you had made different decisions with your first two picks than tight end and wide receiver, if you had addressed glaring needs on the offensive and defensive line, you still got 2 second-round picks to go get the running back that you need. You can't say something's a priority and then not back that up with your actions.
Yeah, those are really good points. They don't have a game breaker. They don't have a game changer at some key positions. They didn't have a sack yesterday. There was one quarterback hit, and that was from Jaquan Brisker. Their entire D-line did not have a single quarterback hit.
Here's what I'll say. That's bad, but you had a whole bunch of takeaways.
Yes, you did.
So I'll trade that. I'll trade the sacks for the takeaways because and it wasn't like, oh, there's a tip ball. No.
Those are great plays.
You had guys making really smart plays. And we talked about Byard, but let's talk about Tyrique Stevenson. Another game where he plays well. And it seems like, and we'll see how they are leading into the Washington game, because he is going to be front and center for that Washington Monday night game. It seems like their approach to him is, we're gonna keep our thumb on him. Like, we're not going to let him think that he's great. We're going to keep pushing him to be great by not telling him he's great.
It was interesting to hear their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, talk about him last week, because I'm always on alert when a coach says something used to be a problem for a player, work ethic-wise, because most of the time it turns out that it still is. And Dennis Allen was saying, you know, Tyrique, there was some hit and miss with his kind of his work habits.
His preparation,
his attentiveness to the mental game this season. He's not talking about ancient history. Dennis Allen is talking about kind of into the first couple weeks of the regular season. And they said, well, you saw him kind of snap in and be a lot more attentive to all of that once Jalen Johnson went down. That's good, and people can change, but that leaves me some concern about whether that's going to be permanent progress for Tyrique, and man, do they need him, because I don't know if Jalen Johnson plays again this season. And while we thought at one point they were super deep at corner, part of that depth is you have an all-pro level number one like Jalen Johnson, who can handle whoever's coming your way, whoever their other team's top receiver is. And so he's out. Terrell Smith's out. Josh Blackwell is kind of not in play really on defense for Dennis Allen. Tyrique Stevenson has to be a number one. And I don't know how many times we're going to have the same conversation while he's a Bear of, oh, what is he? What is, is Tyrique now, is this an indication he's figured it out? Oh, is this an indication that, like, they've lost Tyrique again? You don't know what it's going to be. He doesn't have the track record that tells you where things are clearly headed.
Well, maybe this is that inflection point for Tyrique. Maybe this is that moment when he's growing up. By the way, Jalen Johnson will be on this radio show at 5 o'clock today, and we will talk to him about his recovery from surgery.
And he has shared with the people.
Yes.
On social media.
All
of the things.
You can see the the drainage.
That go along with having a surgery on your groin.
All of it. We can ask him about Tyrique. Ask him about Tyrique's growth and all that. It'll be great to talk to him about that. All right. So the long snapper for the Raiders had a tell.
Yeah.
Where he would tilt the football before he snapped it. And Scott Daly, the Bears long snapper, discovered it, shared it with Richard Hightower, who shared it with everybody. And as that game was progressing, they got a better and better sense of timing. And Josh Blackwell got an early start on the blocked field goal because he was looking at the snapper. That is really good scouting and coaching and execution.
It's brilliant coaching by Richard Hightower. I thought of you, Lawrence, when I learned this yesterday, that what Richard Hightower does is he assigns all his specialists to prepare a scouting report on the person that plays your position for the other team.
That's good.
So Daly would never go against their long snapper. He would have no reason to be studying him other than for this. Then the coach saying, you're a long snapper. You're an expert on long snapping. Tell me about their long snapper. And so Daly is the one that picks up this tell and then shares it with the group. That is brilliant
coaching. Wow. That's really cool. I will say, and I was texting with Patrick Manley about this, longtime long snapper. He says he never would have said anything publicly. How did this come out publicly? Because in baseball, you steal signs if you find a tip or something, if somebody's tipping, I should say. You know, you don't share that with the rest of the league. You don't give up your trade secrets. Why did this come out yesterday? How was the way it came out?
Well, it did come out after.
So I know, but like,
he's saying they should have kept it a secret so that they could do it again to somebody else, so they wouldn't put everybody else on alert.
Sure, you're not helping the opposition. It's not like the division doesn't play the Raiders, but Dallas plays the Raiders later in the year. What if you're helping Dallas some way? You're helping the Raiders correct something.
But also you've sent a message to everybody else on your schedule that, hey, if you do this, we're studying for exactly this. So, you know, clean up your act, Washington and New Orleans and Baltimore and whoever's coming up next.
I love knowing it, but I don't think they should have told anybody.
I'll forgive it in the name of just the total euphoria of what happened there, not just to win that way, but the guy who did it, Josh Blackwell, is such a great story. Josh Blackwell graduated from Duke. He was an undrafted free agent who actually started with Philly coming out of college that offseason. And if you remember, 2022 was a total burndown year for the Bears. Their roster was so just depleted that they claimed 7 guys, I think, on waivers after cut day, which was an NFL record.
Wow.
He was one of them. And he rises under the old coaching staff to be what I thought was a start, and still think is a starting level nickel corner.
I'm surprised he's not the backup nickel with no Kyler.
He had been the backup to Kyler previously, and that also would have afforded you the option to play Kyler outside if you need it. But anyway, the new coaching staff comes in. Dennis Allen comes in and is like not a big Josh Blackwell fan for whatever reasons, and has Nick McLeod playing in that spot. But Josh Blackwell is just this completely mild-mannered, likable, normal dude in that locker room. And I think there was so much jubilation in the Bears locker room that it was that guy. That guy got his moment.
It's great to have a Bears team that's 2-2 instead of 1-3. And it makes – I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but at 1-3, it feels like your season is over.
Oh, yeah.
At 2-2, everything is on the table for them going into the bye.
Yeah, if you can change a lot, because I don't know, there's no formula that they can take from yesterday that'll be how they win going forward.
And
that
there's
was a fluke.
I mean, look, last year at this time we were saying the same thing. They were 4-2 at the bye.
Yeah.
And that felt great. And then there was a 10-game losing streak.
But the schedule coming up, you know, Washington is good. That's a hard game to go there in primetime. But I don't think most people consider Washington a title contender. They're not on that level. They're somebody that you should be able to at least...
They haven't played like it this year.
...be competitive with. And after that, you got the Saints. And then I forget
They're not good at football at
all. I forget the exact order after that, but I know Baltimore is in there and Cincinnati is in there. Cincinnati without Joe Burrow.
Well, Baltimore has given up 133 points in 4 games.
There's some opportunity to be a competitive team if you can figure out some things personnel-wise and scheme-wise during the bye week. And, you know, I was sitting there watching the game yesterday, and this is, I think, applies big picture. The first half was so bad, and I'm sitting there saying, this, in my mind, this is a Ben Johnson problem. Not a problem of his making, but a problem that he has to solve. He can't coach the 2024 Detroit Lions out here that he wishes he had. He's got to coach what he has.
He's got a matter of factness about him that I think works in his favor. Like the fact that he went in there at halftime and said, "We're bad.
Yeah,
this is not good. Let's just hit the reset button because this is some crap." And he says about himself after, "I didn't really have a great game, you know, calling plays or whatever." But everybody rose up. I thought, including him. You know, we haven't mentioned at the end of that 11-play drive to put the touchdown across. Running the ball twice against a tired defense when you haven't been running the ball well all day.
Up the middle.
Yeah, up the middle to Swift.
Swift, yeah. With a guy that is not known to be able to do that.
I know, but he did it a couple times yesterday. And then Swift wide for the touchdown. But, like, Tanny made the point in the group thread. That's a tired defense you're going up against, and they caught him a little bit by surprise with their aggressiveness to run the ball.
Ben Johnson said at the time it was a gut feeling and that his gut had been wrong most of the day, so he was glad that it came through at the end. He said today that when he looks at their running game problems, he doesn't see that as a DeAndre Swift problem. He sees DeAndre Swift doing what they want him to do, and that there are other people, including himself, Ben Johnson, with the play calling, that are not pulling their weight offensively around Swift right now.
Which is probably why they made some changes.
I still say they don't have the running back that they need.
No, I agree with
you. He doesn't have the running back that he wants.
He would be great as the other running back.
Yeah.
As Sonic to somebody else.
Yeah,
like
right.
Yeah. Knuckles.
That's what I thought it was going to be with whoever they were going to draft. That's why I wanted Quinshon Judkins or somebody like that. It's, you know, somebody who can be a power back between the tackles. Manungai had some nice burst on a couple of different runs yesterday. I think that there's usage issues in trying to figure out what plays to give these guys. I mean, this is who you have. I think there's ways that they could unleash Manungai a little bit.
Yeah, I think Manungai is... He's just what they've got. He's
what they've got.
He's this guy. He's a seventh-round pick out of Rutgers that probably doesn't make a lot of teams unless it's this dire of a situation. And as good as it is for him that he has made it, there's also a lot of reliability question there with a rookie running back. That does this guy know? Is he going to be? Can I call any play and just trust that he knows it and he knows where to be and he knows where the hole is going to be?
Yep.
And Ben Johnson has been pretty transparent all along that he doesn't know that yet about Kyle Manungai. Kyle Manungai needs to show him that.
Had you been to Allegiant before?
Yeah, the Super Bowl was here years ago when the Chiefs beat the 49ers, and the Bears won a game here 4 years ago with Justin Fields and Matt Nagy. Yeah, what do you think of the stadium?
I think it's gorgeous. I think there are a lot of things that can be added. I do also think I meant to mention this to Spieg. Because, like, we've been having some fun with, like, the locker room stuff. You know who else had a locker room speech yesterday, Speaks? Kevin Warren.
Did he?
Yeah, because it was the 800th win in franchise history.
Oh, well, that's a good enough reason for Kevin to speak, I suppose.
Yeah, I think everyone got game balls because of that or something. But okay. It was just like, oh, after all of the better gets better, you know, that thing. And then it was like, Kevin's like, so I just want to let you guys know, this was the 800th win in franchise history, and that's us and the Packers. It's just the two of us. Like, that's all we got.
Your good is better. Your better is best.
Is best
until your better is good, and you know the rest.
And the shovels in the ground.
Yeah, that's right. Shovels in the ground, and the White Sox are one of the key.
We're running
franchises.
Out of time.
Yeah,
running out of time.
For the shovels.
Yeah,
no, it's got to be at the end. It's got to be by the end of 2025.
Yeah, right? Yeah, 2 months, right? Like 3 months.
December 28th. They're going to pay Christmas prices to the unions and the Teamsters.
You know what? That actually works, right? Because Bears play Black Friday, right? December 28th. You just go, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's put the shovels in the ground.
Just to get it done.
I'm assuming you asked about Allegiant in part because the Bears' new stadium design looks so much like it.
Yeah.
And
that's why I brought up Kevin Warren.
I'm not a huge fan of that. I like the stadium in Vegas for Vegas.
You don't like it for
I don't know if that
Heights.
Fits in the Midwest like that. And I think they're really missing an opportunity. I think Minnesota has laid the template for what a stadium in that part of the country can look like. And if you watch games, the two stadiums that stand out to me for this, if you watch games in Minnesota where and SoFi, where they have all this natural light, whether you're watching that on TV or in the stadium, it looks totally different than any other indoor stadium because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bears have a chance to do that, and instead I mean, this stadium makes sense because you don't want all this natural light coming in when you're in Vegas.
Yeah,
That's too much.
I fear that the Bears are going to end up with a concrete blister. I do.
I think they're going to be fine. Like, I think it'll be all the things that you want, and I think that there'll be pieces of everything. There'll be a piece of Allegiant. There'll be a piece of State Farm. There'll be a piece of Minnesota. Like, there'll be a piece of all of that stuff thrown in, I think, once they get the shovels in the ground at some point this year.
They can do it.
And I do think, Speaks, your idea of Kevin Warren just going to his backyard.
Yeah,
and being
just
like,
to film it.
With
his wife,
a shovel.
His wife filming it,
yes,
putting it on TikTok.
Yes, my goal still remains to be able to, you know, to move dirt around in 2025, which is important.
Oh, see, that's not even about a shovel.
He's just moving dirt around. He's got a flower pot. Right. I told you guys I was going to move some dirt around.
He's going to kick. He's gonna, he got a shoe out there.
Do you realize when this process started that Matt Nagy was still the coach?
Oh, it's unfortunate.
It's two coaches ago, which is how you measure time if you follow the Bears.
Didn't you go to, like, the first referendum meeting in Arlington
Heights? Yes. I went to a high school in Arlington Heights for the big presentation. That was before they were going to go to Naperville or Indiana or Kenosha or whatever, and then back to the city and then out of the city.
Maybe it'll look a little like this place. Maybe it'll look a little like Circa, you know?
I could go for that,
Some
yeah.
of the amenities.
I could go for that,
It'd have to be indoor. We have indoor water parks in the Chicago area.
Yeah, there we go.
It's simply splashtastic. Jason, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming by and saying hello and being out here in Vegas. We will see you back in the City Beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jason. Great to see Jason Leisure. We're going to talk Cubs with Ron Coomer next.
Yeah.
And Matthew Boyd has spoken to the media about his start. He's getting a game one start, and he was very emotional. So we can talk about that with Coom, who knows a little something about having the Cubs in your blood for a long, long time.
Let's do that next here on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
And now, let's meet the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
Ron Coomer. Ron Coomer.
Guy who grew up on the south side of Chicago and was a Cubs fan. It's like taking your life in your hands.
You know he's a tough guy.
That's right.
Radio analyst for your Chicago Cubs.
Wrigley Field is shaking right now. Unbelievable.
1999 All-Star.
Coomer. Coomer.
The Coom Dog.
Swing and a miss and the Cubs win the ball game. Win number 92.
Now you look around Wrigley Field and you see hundreds, if not thousand, W flags around the ballpark. Fans singing and dancing and hanging out. There's nothing like Wrigley Field.
Ron Coomer.
Throw a few bucks down. You know, Coomer's always got cash on him. You know, Coomer.
He does. I know. He totally always has cash on him.
I know.
As Max should say, let me water down the infield.
Yeah.
Throw those 20s around Coomer, if need be.
I remember Coomer just, you know, busting out a $100 bill, give it to the server and say, here, just take care of us.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Oh, this is great. Having the opportunity to talk with Ron Coomer as the Cubs get ready to play some playoff baseball. We will have the game, the only local call. We'll have pregame starting tomorrow at 1:30. Before that, Raheem Harris and Grody are going to be at Gallagher Way. That's going to be outstanding. And then we're going to have Cubs versus Padres. And you're going to be able to hear Pat and Ron on the call. Ron Coomer now joining us here on the Circa Las Vegas hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, if you want to come and hang out here at Stadium Swim. Coom, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. This time of year is such a special thing. Like, you've seen so many baseball seasons. Is it still special for you?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on, guys. It's you're still standing in Vegas, so that's a positive. Still going strong, so that's good.
Not by much, buddy.
We're hanging on by a thread, Coom.
I'm sure. I understand. We've all been there. It's okay. You know, if you're just hanging on, you're doing good. You're way above most people that have been there all weekend. But yeah, it is very special, as we all know. I mean, I don't think baseball, because of all of my years of being in it, you know, I mean, I signed in 87. So I've been in professional baseball since 1987, and I don't think it ever gets old to be in big games, whether it was the minor leagues and playing in playoff games, the big leagues playing in playoff games, broadcasting big league games or playoff games. And Pat and I've been able to do a bunch in our 12 years. It never gets old. It never gets, you know, like ho-hum. Tomorrow I'll be excited as hell. I'll be nervous going into the broadcast. I'm already, you know, today's been a day of reading about the Padres because we haven't played them since April. So you're just getting my bearings with them and what to expect from them. And it's fun. This is why we do this all this time and all these years. And this year, all these games, is to play playoff baseball.
So what'd you learn about the Padres as you're reading there, Coom? It's weird because the OPS numbers against say they're not as good against lefties, but I look at that lineup and like, well, Machado is pretty good. That's a righty. Tatis is pretty good. Like that's a righty. They got Bogarts is a like they got some ballers on that team.
No, they do. They're a very good team. They you know, I mean, when you look at their, you know, especially the two guys in particular, when you look at Tatis and Machado, you know, you instantly think, well, they're a left-handed killer, and they can be. But it's the other part of the lineup that, you know, when you start looking and you go, well, they feature a lot of left-handed hitters usually in their lineup. So, you know, you try to, if you can say this, minimize the damage between those two guys and try to make some of those other guys beat you if you get a left-hander on the bump. So, you know, those are all theories. You can take all that crap and throw it right out the window come playoff time, because, you know, all these numbers and all this stuff and – you don't know who's going to be the guy that – I was talking about this morning with somebody, just not on the air, but just in general with friends. And I said, you don't know when you have two teams and you got a bunch of young guys that are playing and haven't been around the playoff baseball a lot, you don't know who the guy is, who those guys are that turns into Derek Jeter, that turns into that. Who are those guys? So you don't know that yet. So, the you know, all these numbers and that, you just don't know which guy's going to be the guy that steps up and becomes the playoff Mr. October, Mr. November type of player for your team.
Well, that's interesting to think about. What young Cubs could you imagine rising to the moment that is presented to them starting tomorrow?
Well, I would say if you take the hot guys right away, I think Nico Horner stands out big time to me. He's a guy that's been, you know, incredibly hot the last month. Michael Bush, to me, seems like he is just turning himself into this all-star caliber player, both offensively, defensively. You know, you don't even, you know, Michael's one of those guys. He's got 34 bombs, guys. He's hitting leadoff, but he's got 90 ribbies. I mean, hitting leadoff most of the year. He's one of those people. Is it going to be a Dansby? Is Tuck going to turn into the Tucker we saw for 2.5 months early in the year? And is he going to take off like we know he's capable of? Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, he's one of those people. He loves all this attention and all of that and the heightened part of the game. Is Pete going to be that guy? The other person, you know, and I think there's other guys too that are kind of quiet. I think Matthew's perfect for game one. If that's, you know, if you don't have Horton, I think Matthew's perfect for this role. The other guy that I'm looking forward to seeing pitch, and he hasn't been pitching great as of late, is Shota. Shota's another guy that he knows what this is all about. And I would expect a little extra adrenaline from him and seeing what he can bring. I got a feeling he's gonna be really good come postseason.
Coom, what's it been like watching this Boyd story? Because it's It's amazing. And we had a chance to talk to him after he was named an All-Star. And Spieg's kind of built up a relationship with him in spring training. And this is a guy that he really loves being a Cub. And considering everything else that he's been through, to see it all come together for him in an All-Star appearance and now being a Game 1 starter is amazing.
Yeah, it's a great baseball story. It is. It's a story of, you know, a guy that's a really talented player that all of a sudden, you know, gets like a lot of guys do, a lot of us. We get hit with the injury bug, right? And next thing you know, you're trying to fight your way back just to get to the big leagues and be able to put a big league uniform on and perform. And he did it last year a little bit and was able to get into the playoffs and pitch some, did very well, but very short sample size. And the Cubs rolled the dice on him and brought him in. And you talk about rewarding a franchise for you know, taking a shot at you. And he's been great. There's two things about him. One, I think he's really healthy this year. He knows how to get big league hitters out with his stuff, right? That's a big statement, because some guys, they pitch to what the league says you're supposed to do. Then there are other guys that go, this is what I do. I'm really good at this. So if I do this, I'm going to be successful. That to me is Boyd. The other thing about him and Spieg's, if you got a relationship with Matthew, you know this as well as anybody. You couldn't meet a nicer human being. There's not a nicer person on the planet. So when you start looking at guys that you hope do real well, he's at the top of the list.
He is, Coom, and he's, you know, his grandfather was a Cubs fan, and he talked about it, and he feels it. And I think of you, man. You grew up as a Cub fan, and getting to do the games is like you know what that feels like on some level, to have that deeper emotional resonance. I hope he can keep those emotions in check. He seems pretty good at it, but that can be hard in the playoffs.
I think it is. It is definitely difficult, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing to have emotions and adrenaline. You know, as a player, I think you talk about it more as adrenaline than you do emotions. I think, you know, the emotional part comes during the national anthem, let's say, where, you know, all of a sudden you got this, you're listening to Johnny Vincent and you got this couple minutes of going, all these things flash through your brain come playoff time, like your dad and your grandfather and the little league coaches and the people that have made an impact. Then all of a sudden you take the field, and then it's adrenaline and dealing with the adrenaline. I think the adrenaline rush for Matthew tomorrow is going to be big. And I think he's one of those people that's going to be able to use it well to his advantage.
Coom, we've seen ups and downs from Pete Crow Armstrong, but it ends in a 30-30-30 season for him. The only Cub to ever do that.
Right.
What do you think is important on how he kind of found himself again after going into that valley once we got to about August? How did he find himself?
He started trusting his swing a little bit and not, I think he probably put a little pressure on himself to get to, you know, you see that 30 number of home runs, and it's such a special number for major league players to hit 30 home runs in the league, to hit 300 in the league, to have 100 RBIs in the league. Those are all big numbers. And, you know, his game, if he never hits 30 home runs again in a season, that's fine. He affects the game in so many ways that if he is a 25 home run guy or a 20 home run guy or a 40 home run guy, he affects the game so much. He hit two balls the night that he scored. This is when I knew, I'm like, all right, Pete Crow Armstrong is being back to being that igniter guy for this offense. He hit two ground balls the other way in the infield. One was an error. One was a base hit. He scored from second on a wild pitch. He made the other team throw the ball away. And I'm like, that is him. See, what the other teams are scared to death of about him is those plays. Him hitting a ball in the seats, sure. Anybody can do that, at any time. But, boy, when you are a disruptor for the whole team, the pitcher, the defense, and you disrupt the opposing team, that has effect, man. It's you know, it's like hitting a three-run homer. It really is, because now all of a sudden they're playing on their heels and they're trying not to make a mistake. Their infielders were a mess after that. Him hitting the ball the other way, I think, is going to be crucial to at least having the approach of left center. And if they make a mistake, he'll be able to hit the ball the right. But sticking to that approach is going to be very good, and that's what got him back on track.
Can't resist asking Coom about one more hitter. Seiya Suzuki, National League Player of the Week. After five homers this week, Coom, an OPS of like 1.4 or something. How did he refine the power stroke? Because, boy, that was a long drought.
Yeah, there's a few things that say. One, I always hope when he steps to home plate, he's aggressive. Be a hitter first. I like when he swing first, walk second. Don't be the guy that's always trying to push your at-bat into the 3-2 count. I like when he's up there. If he's going to get a good pitch to hit the first couple pitches of the at-bat, because teams know that he takes early in the count. When he's swinging early, he's going to do well. So I really like him being aggressive swinging. He's one of the stronger guys. When he puts the barrel of the bat on a baseball, there's no park holds him. So, you know, he's hit some really monstrous home runs. So I just like him to be swinging early in the at bat. And he's been doing that lately. He's been getting some pitches. Hit a curveball the other day for a home run. He hit a fastball two or three days ago for a home run. So those are good things for the Cubs.
Coom, enjoy playoff baseball. We can't wait to hear you and Pat and Zach. We can't wait, man. It's going to be so great, and we appreciate you giving us a few minutes today.
Absolutely, boys. Be safe there in Las Vegas. Enjoy the when do you guys come home? Tomorrow?
Tonight.
No, we're all leaving tonight.
I'm going to venture to say none of you will see the plane take off. You'll all be sleeping by then.
That's a really good bet. The really good bet. The question, Coom, is
that, and I do have a stack of hundreds that I would bet on that.
Oh, there you go. And the question is if I can rally tomorrow to make it to the ballpark for pregame. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow afternoon. Yes, just get out of bed, Jason. Try the coffee. That it always works, bro. See you, boys.
Thanks, Coom.
You're the best.
That's Ron Coomer. He's awesome. I just want to throw this out just because it's ridiculous, since we're talking about people who own people. Pete Crow Armstrong versus Miles Michaelis is just great. Have you seen the numbers?
No, but I know Miles had like the worst year ever for a visiting pitcher.
9 at bats, 7 hits, 5 home runs, 6 RBIs.
That's awesome.
778. 2.556 for an OPS of 3.333.
Yeah, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
It really couldn't. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, go back to the bullpen and eat a lizard, Miles. He did that a long time ago. He eats something else when it comes to Wrigley.
What happened at halftime between Aditi and Ben? We'll share that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes show, live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Speaks, you saw the weird interaction between Aditi Kinkabwala and Ben Johnson at halftime. It was bizarre.
But now that we know Ben, I didn't actually think it was that bizarre. Just Ben's a little, he's a little short. He's a little odd at times, but I thought he was just being honest and sort of playful while trying to cut to the chase. I thought it had some Greg Popovich in it in a way that I don't mind. But some people were rubbed the wrong way. Aditi was actually on Mullion Hall this morning talking about it. She didn't really have a problem with it. But anyway, when Ben spoke to the media today, he decided to apologize.
I know there's been some buzz about your halftime exchange. Can you relay how you interpreted that conversation?
Yeah, you know, in the moment, I honestly didn't think too much of it. I'm kind of in game mode. But then when I look back at it, you know, I am a little bit disappointed with what that looks like. You know, I didn't hear very well, and that's not an excuse, but when I thought I heard that, it was not a question, but that I needed to make some changes, I didn't take that very well. So I'll do a better job with those going forward.
Okay.
I didn't get much apology there. I didn't like what that looks like. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think he's got anything to apologize for. Am I wrong?
We don't have time to discuss it fully.
All right.
We will later on this week, though.
Damn right we will.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson is going to join us. We'll check in on our friend after he had surgery. Next, here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.